The Academy of Natural Sciences was founded in 1812. On this week's News and Views, we look at how this 200-year-old institution continues to contribute to the public's understanding of science. Today, the Academy is known to museum-goers for its dinosaurs, dioramas, and butterfly habitat. Academy President George Gephardt says that's only a fraction of what goes on.
3/4 of what we do is actually real science, either in our 7 buildings that occupy this campus, as well as out in the field. And it's both environmental science as well as what we call systematic biology, which would be, in layman's terms, the ologies, the study of ornithology, entomology, etc.
There were few professional scientists in 1812 when a small group of men, including a pharmacist, a distiller, a physician, a dentist, a chemist, a druggist, and one who was an authority on insects and shells, decided to meet weekly to discuss their interest in the natural world. Academy Fellow Robert Peck, author of A Glorious Enterprise, A New Illustrated History of the Institution, says the founders also wanted to be independent from England and the old world.
They believed that if they could form an organization that could vet its own discoveries, could publish a journal, that we could establish for America a respectability in science and a kind of an energy that would infuse the new economic forces that were coming to bear in America.
Today, science continues to drive the Academy. Gephardt points to the Patrick Center for Environmental Science.
We're dealing with issues that will affect potentially everyone living in our region, issues such as Marcellus Shale, studying the density of wells and well drilling and its impact on fresh water. We're studying global warming and how it would affect sea level change in tidal areas.
On the next News and Views, the role of Academy scientists in environmental policy. You can hear this entire 4-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.
Since its founding in 1812, the Academy of Natural Sciences has sent out expeditions to explore the wilderness and corresponded with people beyond Philadelphia, growing its membership and its collections. On this week's News and Views, we look at the continuing role of this scientific pioneer. Academy Senior Fellow Bob Peck says over the years, members included Thomas Jefferson, Charles Darwin, and even Ernest Hemingway.
He was very much involved with our research on fish in the 1930s, and he invited them to come join him for a month's worth of fishing on his boat, the Pilar, off the coast of Cuba. He contributed specimens to the ichthyology department and really added significant new information to the work that Henry Fowler was doing on the fishes of the Atlantic.
In the 1930s, an Academy scientist took a different approach to research that traditionally involved collecting and classifying particular organisms. Dr. Ruth Patrick, in her studies of bodies of water, began considering all of the different inhabitants.
She started by focusing on diatoms, little single-celled plants. But then she began to look at the invertebrates, the fish, the reptiles, amphibians, and put together interdisciplinary teams that could go to a stream and do a total survey. From her work, she was able to determine the health of the individual bodies of water and help to determine policies that would protect them for the future.
At a time before water pollution was a hot topic,
Ruth Patrick was at the head of the curve, and she eventually went on to advise President Johnson and Congress on how to craft the Clean Water Act that would protect drinking water for all of us.
Today, the initiative that Patrick began, researching water quality, continues in the Academy's largest scientific department. On the next News and Views, how the Academy serves both the public and the scientific community. You can hear this entire 4-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.
For nearly all of its 200-year history, the Academy of Natural Sciences has served two constituencies, the scientific community and the public. On this week's News and Views, we consider its ongoing work as a museum, educating the public, and as a scientific workplace. Jennifer Sanchi, acting director of exhibits, describes Science Live, a weekly museum demonstration by a scientist that bridges the two worlds.
He comes down with all of his birds that he's been collecting in the field, and he makes them into what we call a study skin. And what we have is a collection of birds that has been mounted this way, where we preserve their bodies. And we have thousands and thousands of these so that scientists can come from across the world and look at all the variations of the traits that they have.
Researchers may also be using the library, where Bridget Clancy is librarian.
A lot of people will come to look at our archival collection, which includes a lot of the papers and field notes of really well-known early natural historians.
19th century member John James Audubon's oversized book of illustrations, The Birds of America, is on display, where a page is turned with some ceremony each day. Meanwhile, in an upper floor office, entomologist Dan Oddie works identifying crickets by their sounds and grasshoppers by their colorful anatomy, which, in the spirit of Audubon, he illustrates in minute detail.
I try to draw them as I see them.
Oddie's work is among the art which has rotated through a first floor public gallery dedicated to the intersection of art and science. Back in the museum, just beyond the Art and Science Gallery, museum visitors can wander into a tropical butterfly garden.
I'm Michael Sikorsky. I'm the butterfly keeper, the butterfly guy.
Or head back to the far end of Dinosaur Hall and get a glimpse of work behind the scenes.
I'm David Schloss. I work here at the Academy of Natural Sciences as a fossil preparator. So what I do back here is I clean and prepare dinosaur bones.
On the next News and Views, the Academy's role in informing policymakers on drilling in the Marcellus Shale. You can hear this entire four-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.
The Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia is now affiliated with Drexel University. On this week's News and Views, we look at how the Academy is contributing information about timely environmental issues. Academy President George Gephardt says its scientific exploration today includes anything from a dinosaur dig in Patagonia to field work in the jungles of Vietnam to dives in the Philippines and the Caribbean studying mollusks
to studying changes in water quality as nearby as here in the Delaware Valley region and as far away as Mongolia.
The biggest scientific department builds on the research of Dr. Ruth Patrick, who began studying water quality in the 1930s. Wetland scientist Tracy Quirk is studying the mechanisms by which wetlands store carbon, which can help offset the accumulation of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere caused by industrialization.
The more carbon that ecosystems can store, the better for offsetting this warming trend that we're having.
Fisheries biologist Dave Keller is studying the effects that drilling for natural gas in the Marcellus Shale region has on the water quality of streams.
We've set out to sample streams where there is no drilling going on, where there's a little bit of drilling going on, and where there's a lot of drilling going on. And what we're looking to find is, at what point do we see a decrease in water quality as we increase in drilling density?
Paleontologist Ted Deschler says the Academy's work highlights the relevance of science in everyday life.
Whether it's an environmental question like drilling in the Marcellus Shale to get natural gas, or a question about how our diseases pass through bird populations and enter human populations, or questions about what is the evolutionary history of certain groups of animals.
The Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia is celebrating its bicentennial with special programming and a year-long bicentennial exhibit. You can hear this entire four-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.